Hello, this is Dr. Tony Evans with The Urban Alternative, and I'm so glad to be with our friends to just share a word with you about the power of Thanksgiving, especially when you don't see that there's a lot to be thankful for. Maybe circumstances are not in your favor. Maybe health is not where you want it to be. Maybe finances are... that's a struggle, debt, or maybe relationship breakdowns. And while you may know that Thanksgiving is appropriate and even commanded, it's just not, you're not feeling it right now. Well, that happens to all of us. That happens to me. That happens to you. It's a reality in our world that every day is not a thankful kind of day emotionally. When we look at real life, real pain, real people, real problems, real needs. But I'd like to suggest to you that in the middle of your and my confusion, chaos, calamities, Thanksgiving is the way to go. I'm thinking about a story that's told in the Gospels, all of them, when there was not enough. There was not enough food to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. They were insufficient. How are we going to make this happen? It's interesting the way the different Gospels portray this same story. Some include elements that others do not include. But let me summarize it for you and say a word about the power of Thanksgiving, even when you're in a tough spot. Jesus asked his disciples, he said to them, look, how are we going to feed all these people? 5,000 men, not counting women and children. You know, all the McDonald's, Burger King's, and Wendy's in the world are not going to solve the problem of these hungry people. And this is happening during Passover time. So, you know, Passover, they're thinking about food. And the answers were interesting. Philip, who was born in the area where this event took place, said it's not practical. We need to send them home because this problem is too big to solve. Andrew said, well, you know, we the banks aren't open and we don't have enough money in the pouches to handle this big a problem. But there's a boy here with a couple of fish and some barley loaves. For us today, that would be like sardines and crackers. It was poor people's food. It was a lunch pail, if you will, lunch bag for this boy. Jesus said, tell him, bring it to me. He brings the fish and the loaves to Jesus. And we're told in John's rendition, John 6, that Jesus gave thanks. What? He gave thanks for not nearly enough. He gave thanks in their insufficiency. He gave thanks over sardines and crackers when we need to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, 15,000 people or more. What are you giving thanks for? I'd like to suggest to you that Thanksgiving is powerful, particularly when you don't see a solution and you don't have an answer. Because it drives you to God in a positive way. You see throughout the Bible, God condemning complaining when things weren't working out well. The children of Israel are going through the wilderness. They didn't have water. They complained. And they didn't have meat. They complained. And it always led to something negative. But Jesus shows here when it's not going well, to use that as an opportunity to express faith, and you express faith in thanksgiving. He got the men to sit down and posture themselves as providers because the men were supposed to provide for their families, but he just tells the men to sit down according to John, and he tells them to get ready by their posture for the faith that they are expressing in the context of thanksgiving. I want to challenge you right now to change your posture, to position yourself before God expectantly that the God who is your source, who is the ultimate provider in the midst of your negative circumstances, can meet you where you are in a way you don't expect. Who would think, who would have thought it, that sardines and crackers would be the way God would do this miraculous intervention into their circumstances? Now, I don't know how God's going to do it for you. You don't know how God's going to do it for me, but this story tells you that God still does it. He still intervenes in the weirdest ways, and he comes out of left field with things you don't expect. Now, what Jesus did do is he took what was available. So to give thanks doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means that what is in your ability to do, you do, while you giving thanks to God for his ability to take your little and make it much. I mean, he told Moses to throw down his rod, right? And he wound up using a stick that had been supernaturally empowered to open up the Red Sea. You know, Samson, he had the jawbone of a donkey, and he was able to defeat his enemies. God can use the most insignificant things to accomplish his most significant accomplishments. I want to challenge you to change your posture, to position yourself before God as a dependent person on him, and to thank him for, one, what he has done, because you wouldn't even be where you are if God has not already been good. What he is doing, what can you see right now that shows that God is good? And then thank him for what you're trusting him to do, the things that you don't see yet. Lord, I'm trusting you to change my circumstance. I'm trusting you to change my career path or guide me to my destiny. I'm trusting you. And so I want to thank you that I can trust you with the little that I have, because you are my source. When there are no McDonald's, when the banks are closed, when the doctors give up, God is still on the throne, and we can give thanks. In fact, we must give thanks, because we're expressing faith in a God. We're not complaining against him. We're actually, by giving thanks, cooperating with him. Now, when Jesus gave thanks, they open up their eyes, and Moby Dick, or Orca the Killer Whale, is on the beach. I mean, they got more fish than they can eat. And then there are 12 baskets full left over. Why do you think 12 baskets full? Well, they're 12 disciples, right? He's preparing them to become apostles, right? Well, 12 baskets full so that there would be a doggy bag, a perpetual reminder of what God can do. So when they face their next trial, they could remember what God did yesterday in the uncertainty of tomorrow. And I guess I've got bad news for you. Tomorrow is uncertain. We don't know whether it's going to be a great day, a mediocre day, or not so great a day, because we don't know the future. But God has already been there and come back. And so you can give thanks now for tomorrow, even though tomorrow is uncertain, because you have a God who knows tomorrow before you've arrived. The bad news is that when Mark tells the story and the disciples find themselves in a storm and panic, we're told they did not learn the lesson of the loaves and the fish. You see, God wants us to give thanks like Jesus gives thanks, to teach us a lesson. What's the lesson? That he's our source. God is our provider. In the same way that Jesus went to the Father in a bad situation with a spirit of thanksgiving, you and I ought to go to the Father with a spirit of thanksgiving, even in our insufficiency, when there's no answer, solution in sight. I want to encourage you today. Thanksgiving is not just a doctrine, a theory, or an expectation. It is a supernatural opportunity. It's a supernatural opportunity to link with God and what God plans to do in your particular unique situation. When Mark tells the story, Mark says that Jesus blessed the food. He blessed it. John says he gave thanks. Mark says he blessed it. In other words, he invoked God's favor on an incomplete and insufficient situation. It doesn't mean you don't deal with reality. Reality is there are only a couple of fish and some barley loaves, that's real. So you don't pretend that it's Moby Dick or Orca the Killer Whale and, you know, all the bread in town. That's not real. But that's not all either. Because once you place it in God's hands, you've changed the trajectory. You've changed the opportunity. You've changed what God can do because God now feels and knows he's appreciated. We teach our kids to say thanks, don't we? All day long, we teach them to say thanks. Say thanks. Did you say thanks? You know what? We want that to be a lifestyle. We don't just want them to just take, and not appreciate. Well, God's a father, and he wants to know we are grateful children. That's why Romans 1 says that there is a condemnation, and it says beginning in verse 18, and neither did they give thanks. Rather than recognizing the goodness of God, even in the badness of circumstances, you and I get to give thanks to the God who can meet us in those circumstances. I speak not just from a theory or theology, but from experience. Many of you know the Evans family has been going through a rough patch, and my wife, 50 years, has been suffering from an incurable disease. The doctors have said there is no answer, and just all we can hope to do is make her as comfortable as possible. Well, you talk about a situation where Thanksgiving isn't the emotion of the day. When you're asking for a miracle, when you're wanting a miracle, when you don't know, you know, you can't pinpoint what God's going to do, when God's going to do it, and you're hurting and you're crying. And yet, in our prayers, we've had to give thanks. Hard as it was, we've had to say, Lord, thank you for our life. Thank you for the life we've had together. Thank you for our children. In fact, my wife told me this the other day, with tears coming down her eyes, I am so thankful to God that I don't have to go through this alone. That I was there, her children were there, her grandchildren were there, and her church family was there. And she didn't have to go through it alone. You know, she gave thanks in the worst kind of scenario. I want to challenge you to give thanks. And you know what? How this story ends when John's telling the story? When John's telling the story, he says that the people said, this man, Jesus, most certainly is a prophet. In other words, Jesus was getting some airtime. He was getting recognized. He was getting recognized for who he was and what he could do. You know what Thanksgiving does? It raises the clout of Jesus in your life. Because when you follow Jesus, who talked to the Father and gave thanks. In fact, Jesus even gave thanks when Lazarus passed away. It says he gave thanks. It doesn't get any worse than that. There's power in Thanksgiving, folks. Don't miss what God could do, might do. I can't guarantee how God's going to work in your situation. You can't guarantee it in mine, but I can guarantee you this. God responds to Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving has embedded in it power. So confess your grumbling, dismiss your grumbling. And right now, take your seat and be thankful. And let's all sit back and see how God takes some loaves and some fish and feeds you and your circumstances from his Father on high. God bless you, and thank you for giving me the privilege of just sharing with you about the power of Thanksgiving.